Greetings from Albert Camus Radio. Every once in a while, I cruise eBay and just punch in Albert Camus and sort them by newly listed and just start seeing what's out there for interesting items that relate to Camus. I don't necessarily limit the search to books, so there's stickers and t-shirts and grocery bags and all sorts of things related to Camus that pop up on eBay. And every once in a while, a book. I've come across some books, mostly it seems like printed in the 1970s, that have sort of dropped into a gap of not being in regular collections. And I've picked up some interesting texts, but none more interesting than the book I want to talk about today. It's called Albert Camus and the Men of Stone. Albert Camus and the Men of Stone. This text is very interesting and a joy to have picked up at a very good price on eBay. I think I paid $10 shipped for this text. It's a 1971 printing by the Greenwood Press, and it falls into that category that I just mentioned of things that have generally been produced in the 70s have fallen into some sort of gap that I've not seen before. They're often unique items. This was a 750 copies were printed by this, and the end of the book says there was a first run in, no, this is the first run. 1971 is the first run and the only run of this text. And there were 750 copies printed in June of 1971. So it's a printmaker's book, because the Men of Stone refers to the copy editors and the actual printing crew that worked with Camus, primarily for combat, when Camus was working for combat during World War II. And a lot of this takes place in Lyon when combat was on the move. So the printer's stone then refers to the actual hardcore literal stone that the typeset was laid out on, and the men working down in that position would be getting everything just right for a printing. And this book is a remembrance of seven men that worked with Camus, and it appears they were interviewed in the late 60s and early 70s, early 1970, for an ability for this book to be printed in 1971 by Greenwood. So there's seven fascinating interviews with these men that worked very closely with Camus. And there are two versions of an address that he gave to the Printers Guild that were recorded from memory and from notes by two different gentlemen that appeared at or were present at this address that Camus gave. And interestingly enough, they were very impressed that Camus did not prepare a speech for them. He spoke impromptu about the relationship between the writer and those that actually produced the book, or the middle ground, the editors that would edit the text, and then the printers that would actually physically turn it into a book or a newspaper in the case of combat. And then there was a question and answer period afterward that Camus engaged in that also brought a number of things to light. If you listen to my last book review that I did on Camus' speeches, I learned an awful lot about Camus the person. This book even takes that further. These are nice books because they extend beyond the really important biographies of Camus by people like Lotman, etc., and Todd. And they extend beyond the journals and notebooks of Camus, where you get a personal view of him, or secondary sources about Camus, Simone de Beauvoir, for instance, in the fiction. But you get some other people reminiscing about Camus, and it changed my view of him a little bit. I came into the reading of this text with a view that was slightly imperfect, I think, and I guess it's always evolving, but Camus is being pretty arrogant and a very large ego, still willing to engage with most folks, but also a barrier that was placed, that Camus placed between a lot of people. And that probably is still the case as he matured, maybe 1949 and beyond, 47 and beyond. But these gentlemen that he worked with in the printing industry and the typeset industry and the editing industry, all of these interviews rave about his accessibility and his immediate ability to put them all at ease and work side by side with these people. So it is a really fascinating addition to one's understanding of Camus as a person. It's 62 pages long, and it has 9 illustrations in it. Some of the illustrations are very common photographs of Camus, and other ones are some photographs or illustrations that I've not seen before, and they, you know, are always interesting to have placed in the book. The book is printed in a very interesting manner. I would call it a paperback book, certainly, but it is the covers are folded. It's very heavy paper, and then the cover is folded in a very interesting way to make it a unique book. It's not a book that you would have probably picked up before and had the ability to leaf through a book like this. So I take great care when I handle this book, because there aren't very many of these in circulation, and I'm very happy to have one of these books. It's not available as a PDF anywhere that I can see, or in digital form anywhere, so it is a difficult piece to acquire. I'm going to read a few selections from this text to give you a look at what's inside of it, and typical contributions by some of these 7 folks that took the time to reminisce about Camus and go on the record. So I'm reading from the foreword now, which is put together by Roger Grenier, who helped put the whole edition together here, and his recollection of Camus during this particular period and this particular slice of Camus' life that we don't hear much about. His roll up your sleeves, get in the hot moving press area with, you know, ink here and there, and work long hours with these blue collar gentlemen. So I'm quoting from the foreword here, from Grenier. So here's the quote. There are different kinds of journalists. Some of them have never set foot in a composing room. In my opinion, this is a mistake on their part. Camus was a copy editor. When he became editor-in-chief, he continued to look after the makeup of each page, to check the final page proofs, and to wait at night for the completion of the page forms, which the truck carried away, one after another. In conclusion, I think the printing plant was one of the places where Camus was happy. End quote. That's very typical of what I read in here, that these men that worked with him remember him as being happy and being funny and being very witty down in wherever this printing process may have taken place. Daniel Leneff gives us a recollection that I have not come across before, and I've asked several of the very top-ranking experts on The Stranger if they've ever encountered this story before. And Peter Frantsev, who is in California, who got my email, which was late night central United States, not so late in California, replied quickly to me that he had not heard this story about The Stranger before. And So I'm going to read this recollection of something about the stranger that comes forth in this odd source on Camus. I'm on page 38 of the text. This is Daniel Leniff. Quote, the days passed without any disagreements, and at least as far as we were concerned. Then came the evacuation. We were supposed to drive to Fernand in automobiles, which had been turned over to us because almost all the regular drivers had been mobilized. We were the first to arrive, and I can still see Camus getting out of a smoking car on the square, out of gas, oil, and water. He turned pale, rushed to the rear trunk, and took out, as if it were a treasure, a manuscript which he buried in his pockets. I later learned it was the manuscript for the stranger, which he thought he had left behind. Then his anxiety vanished as he told us with great humor how the executive riding with him had managed to sustain all night a conversation that flagged at times because of his drowsiness. Fascinating little vignette about the transportation of the manuscript of the stranger as it made its way across, occupied, and then into Vichy, France. 49, page 49, gives us another unique insight into Camus' writing style, which I find always fascinating. So I'm going to quote, this is Roger Proy, who was a retired proofreader, so a proofreader of Camus' work, on page 49 of this text. Quote, the first question from the floor This is during the address that Camus gave and the question and answer session after that. So he is recalling this question and answer session that Camus engaged with typesetters, proofreaders, editors, etc. Okay, begin quote. The first question from the floor concerned the relationship between the writer and the proofreader. Camus assured us that in his case, he gave full and friendly consideration to any suggestion made by the proofreader relative to meaning and syntax. Furthermore, he said that 8 out of 10 times he followed the proofreader's advice. Thus, their relations were perfectly courteous, end quote. That's another insight that I had not gathered over the last 20 years of reading about and paying very close attention personally to Camus' writing style, where these proofreaders did have a great impact on how the text read. 8 out of 10 times, Camus says he would follow their advice on changes to text that he wrote. Another interesting narrative or illumination of Camus' writing style comes out in this question and answer period also. Then he broadened the discussion by sketching a picture for us of the writer's life in general and his own in particular. If sometimes people seem to have to pull him by the ear to get him to attend this or that meeting, discussion, or social gathering, he said it was because he had an incredibly busy schedule. Moreover, he thought he couldn't create anything worthwhile without long hours of solitary meditation. After that, there remained the physical labor, which consisted of writing out the work himself or dictating it, end quote. So we see that Camus is suffering some anxiety from having all these engagements post stranger, clearly post plague. And he needed this time alone, this solitary meditation time alone, to engage the writing process. And then he called the writing actual physical labor. It may go a long way to help explaining the drought period that we all recognize in Camus' work, because here During this period of time, he's illuminating the fact that he's been pulled in many directions and he simply doesn't have the time to sit and to meditate about what he wants to write on. In page 51 of the text, he talks about one of the stories that I've always found fascinating, and it illuminated to me Camus' intent with the story, which these texts like this, a sort of hidden text like this, really can go a long way to our understanding of Camus. He's talking about the silent men, or the mutes, it sometimes occurs or is titled in the English. It's a short story about working in a barrel factory. That is one of those short stories that is always connected with me. So I want to read a quote about Camus talking about the silent men or the mutes. Quote, "So when I wrote The Silent Men, a short story in Exile and the Kingdom about a strike in a barrel factory in Algiers," Camus said, "I felt very uneasy. I couldn't get the thought out of my mind that successfully describing a strike, or more precisely its effects, in language that communicates in an extremely delicate undertaking. I hope I succeeded all the same." End quote. So Camus took this short story as being very serious because it was a labor relations story that Camus was trying to write. So the beauty, as we know, of Camus' work is this simultaneously being able to write in a breathtaking, award-winning, top-ranked in the world manner, and to be able to deliver a philosophical point with the writing. One of those skills is remarkable, but to hold both of those skills together like Camus has is simply astounding. And that's his point in this passage about the barrel makers in The Silent Men. He wanted to talk about the effects of a strike and the kind of language that would be hard hitting. I continue on page 51 that with a passage that talks about the act of writing. And this is always something that my eyes are drawn very closely to, and I read several times to understand Camus as an author. So I quote from page 51. "Certainly the act of writing, an editorial necessity, involves concessions as much to public opinion as to colleagues who write in the same paper. This leads to saying less rather than more. I have therefore never been satisfied working as a journalist. First, because this demands a speed of execution which always annoys me and makes it almost impossible to revise anything. Second, because I abhor having enemies, and journalistic polemics invariably end up this way. I suffer perpetually for this reason." End quote. Hates having enemies. We know how that plays out in his personal life and his professional life as it goes forward, especially with the idea of Marxism and communism. And he likes to be able to go back and edit. So today I brought you a very unique book review. It is Albert Camus and the Men of Stone, published in 1971. Hard to find, but very illuminating. I leave you with this.